Hello, fantasy sports fans, and welcome to the Roto Experts Fantasy Sports Show. I am your host, Chris Mitchell, and it is week two's over. So I guess we have to say that it is week three in fantasy football. But because we like to do the show, and maybe that's just me, and maybe it's not what everyone else likes to do, but I like to look back a little bit about what's been going on in the first couple of weeks in order to more accurately analyze what we're looking at going forward, and specifically looking at week number three. So while it is technically week three, we are going to be talking about week number two and even week number one a little bit. We're not going to be breaking out games or anything like that. But I want to put into perspective where the players sit, who's performing well, who's not performing well, who do we believe in, who do we not believe in. I mean, Kareem Hunt, who wasn't even the number one guy in Kansas City until Spencer Ware got injured, all of a sudden now he is lapping the field at the running back position. And while he was popular as we got closer to the regular season and as we got later into draft season, he wasn't one of the top five picks in football, and yet, again, he is destroying the running back position as far as fantasy points go. So you need to look at those and say, all right, are we buying this going forward? In yearly leagues, there's not a question. Of course you're starting. I mean, he's been a must-start from week one, so that's obviously not going to change after he's leading the league in fantasy points from the running back position. But from a DFS perspective, from daily fantasy sports, is he worth paying for? I remember a few years back when Todd Gurley came on the scene as a rookie. He obviously came in late into the season or midway through the season. He had an injury he had to get over from college. So he wasn't drafted all that early, and you didn't know what you were going to necessarily get from him. The Rams weren't exactly a great squad at that time, not that they're a great squad now, but there were some concerns there. But he was a monster in his rookie season, and that escalated him into being a top 10 pick in the following season, and even still now he's in the top 20. Everyone obviously bought into Todd Gurley eventually. Are we buying into Kareem Hunt? And then are we buying into some of the other surprises? Ty Montgomery is second in running back scoring, and he's bottlenecked in with all those other running backs, speaking of which Todd Gurley. He's third in fantasy points at the running back position. So are we buying into Ty Montgomery? Are we buying into Todd Gurley? We'll look at Chris Thompson, who could be a free agent in a lot of leagues. He's got 81 receiving yards and 81 rushing yards and three touchdowns. That Redskins running game, even though Rob Kelly's supposed to be the number one guy there, Chris Thompson is the playmaker right now, and he's scoring the touchdowns. So are we buying into Chris Thompson? So we're going to talk about that a little bit. So obviously that'll be a week one, week two, look ahead to week three kind of discussion point. And so we're going to be talking about that. Obviously, if we're going to be coming onto the program on a Tuesday and we're going to have Brandon C. Williams from rotoexperts.com, we're going to be talking about the waiver wire. So when he's going to be on the program with us today, he's going to give us his waiver wire report. These early weeks is when you can make a difference. We're also going to talk about Tyree Cohen, who was a big part of our discussion last week. We're going to talk about him a little bit this week because I am catching a lot of flack for not being a Tyree Cohen buyer. But he was obviously a waiver wire guy that had to be claimed after the first week, and I wasn't against that. I didn't say that Tyree Cohen should not be claimed. My stance was just don't buy into this guy as a potential stud. So if you have to spend actual assets on Tyree Cohen, I was saying you want to be a little bit more moderate on this thing rather than bullish and just leap onto this bandwagon that has been created. And he had a decent week in week number two, so Cohen kind of backed up a little bit sort of what he did, but at the same time he kind of didn't. So he's a controversial guy, so we'll talk a little bit about him as well, and maybe before the waiver wire period, but also definitely there'll be an interesting situation where does he absolutely have to be owned in all leagues. Was week two a positive or a negative for him? I think you could look at it as both ways. I think it kind of fits right into what I was saying, which is that this guy is going to be a constant flex option, but he's not necessarily a guy that you need to be in love with. So he needed to be owned. I just would rather have owned a Kenny Golladay or even some other guys on there. Chris Carson is not going to be the guy in Seattle probably for a while. So if you wanted to invest in the future rather than necessarily in the current situation in your league, I could see why you wouldn't necessarily jump on the Chris Carson bandwagon. But I kind of liked him a little bit more. Cooper Kupp's interesting. These were guys we talked about last week. So we'll get into that discussion. And then after we get through with kind of examining what's already happened this season and after we look at the waiver wire, then we'll look ahead to week number three. We're going to go through some of the games. We won't touch on all of them, but I'd like to get Brandon's opinion looking forward as far as what he likes from a – both from a – we won't really get too much into week number three for yearly leagues because a lot of the guys are must-starts. We don't really need to examine that. But we'll look at the good and the bad matchups, and it will probably be a little bit more helpful from a DFS perspective than it will be from a yearly league because we're not going to get too much into the flex decisions. Hopefully we'll have another program either Wednesday or Thursday where we'll literally just break down week number three and we'll look at those difficult flex calls. So we'll get into that. But we will touch on that now because we are going to look ahead and see who you like and who you don't like. And any time that we get into those kinds of discussions, flex discussions are going to happen. So that's on the agenda today. I'm your host, Chris Mitchell. You can follow me on Twitter at CJMitch73. Both Brandon Williams and myself, both are writers over at rotoexperts.com, so you can always go over there and read our content. My article will be posted tomorrow regarding I do a trends and noteworthies, as I call them, article, where I look at what's been happening through the weeks, some of the trends that you need to be aware of, some of the players that are either rising or falling based on what's happening. I write that article every single week over there. Last week it touched on a lot of waiver wire situations. I'm not the waiver wire report guy, but after week one, it kind of is natural that a lot of the players that we'll be talking about will be waiver wire guys. So a lot of my first article was touching on players that were waiver wire situations. But this week it'll be a little bit less so. So head on over to rotoexperts.com for both my content as well as Brandon's. If you want to join us on Facebook, if you want to post some questions or you just want to talk fantasy sports with us, you can do that. It's the rotoexperts.com fantasy sports show page over on Facebook. Let me bring Brandon C. Williams into the program right now. Brandon, good to have you on board. We're 2 weeks into the season. As I said, I am writing the weekly trends and noteworthies article. I guess after 2 weeks we can say something is a trend, but it's a skeptical trend at the very least. Last week I had guys you want to be aware of. I had guys that you don't want to be fooled by, which I put Cohen into that category. And then I had the inconclusives. We'll still have plenty of inconclusives, but maybe they'll be a little less inconclusive than before. I guess that's what you look at when you look at week number two is what's your thoughts on how confident we should be about certain players after only 2 weeks. I mean, matchup still matters. If you play the Saints, you look fantastic. If you play Denver, you look pretty bad. Then there's a lot of middle ground in between. You know, the Patriots look terrible 1 week and great the next. So 2 weeks is hardly a sample size to get excited about. But nonetheless, sometimes you can. What's your general thoughts on your level of confidence or your level of disdain and disgust after just 2 weeks? For example, the Giants fans, just from an NFL perspective, have to be completely and totally disgusted by the Giants. Same thing for the Bengals. The Jets fans, they probably got exactly what they were expecting, so they probably didn't change. But anyway, what's your perspective on how to handle things after 2 weeks? All right, I don't know if I hear Brandon in there. He's showing as he's in my studio, but I'm not hearing him on my end of the phone here. So hopefully he'll be with us. Brandon, if you can hear me,
I
cannot hear you.
I am here.
Okay, go ahead. Did you hear my question?
Yes, sir, I did. I did get that. After 2 weeks in the season, you're going to be players, fantasy players, they're going to have a sense of panic. I think, obviously, when you see a slow start to Odell Beckham and Antonio Brown, you're going to have less experienced fantasy guys are going to push the panic button on that. I think, obviously, with Beckham and the way the Giants looked offensively the first 2 weeks, that could be a bigger issue. Antonio Brown is going to get his, so I'm really not too concerned about that. I think you look at running backs, I think the one guy that, two actually, that have been constants in the first 2 weeks have been, strangely, Todd Gurley and Kareem Hunt. Now, Hunt needed the long touchdown run late in the game to clinch it against Philadelphia to get into the upper stratosphere of fantasy producers at the position this week. But Todd Gurley has also been effective as well. And I think the fact that he has become more of a weapon in the passing offense of the Rams is more intriguing. You look at quarterback, obviously, Tom Brady, a great bounce-back game. You knew that was going to happen, particularly against the Saints. Breeze had something of a rebound effect as well. But, you look at some of those guys that are surprises. Are you going to buy into Trevor Siemian after 2 weeks? Are you going to buy into Carson Wentz being a must-start quarterback on a weekly basis? Then you look at some of the guys that, you expected big things out of, but, you really didn't get much production out of in week two. Matt Ryan did not have a particularly good week, even though the Falcons won. Matthew Stafford, he did get a couple of touchdown passes, but average nonetheless. Marcus Mariota, Jameis Winston, you know, so weeks along with Cam Newton. At the end of the day, I think that 2 weeks is way too early to push the panic button, although I think that there are some trends, you know, particularly with Newton and the Panthers offense. I don't like what I'm seeing there so far, you know, particularly with the way that they're using Christian McCaffrey. I think also, again, the Giants are a major concern as well. But I think that, you know, sooner or later, you're going to get some of the big guns that are going to come up. I think, obviously, Antonio Brown is going to have a monster game to get things back going. You know, Matt Ryan is a guy I really would not worry about. I really wouldn't worry too much about a guy like a Drew Brees or even a Dak Prescott. You know, rough game last week. Obviously, it's at Denver. But at the end of the day, he's a guy you still feel confident about.
Yeah, I got to be honest. It's interesting you mentioned Dak Prescott. He's not a guy that we were really planning on talking about today. But, he obviously had a really good season last year, but I never really bought into him. This was a guy who's probably, I think, drafted as a top 10 quarterback and is considered a must-own in leagues. I wasn't ready to buy into that he was phenomenal. I'm kind of still surprised by how good he was last season. I'm also down on Dez Bryant, so maybe that's part of it. Just to real quickly, were you a Dak Prescott guy coming into the season? Because I have to be honest, unless he really, really fell, I had no intention whatsoever of drafting him in any league. I was not buying into him as a guy that you had to have at the top 10. I'd rather draft two quarterbacks and hope one of them plays as a top 10 guy. I was not going into Dak Prescott and not having a second QB. To me, that's how I approached Dak Prescott. What did you, coming into the season, do?
Coming into the season, actually, I liked him a lot better when at the time you thought that Ezekiel Elliott was going to be suspended. I thought that it would be more of an up-tempo passing game with Prescott, you know, being able to get the ball downfield. Now, I do agree with you to a certain extent about, you know, the concerns about Dez Bryant. I do think that there might be a case of, you know, it might be a case where this guy truly has fallen off the list of being an elite wide receiver. He's no longer a wide receiver one at this point. I think there is some merit to that. With Zeke Elliott back in the fold, I think that you'll see a lot of what you saw last season with Prescott. He's going to have some games where he will look good. He's probably more suited for two quarterback leagues than looking at him as a must-start in regular fantasy leagues. I really don't see him as such. I think the upside was there that maybe at some point in the season he would be. But right now, I think he's more of a matchup type person. If you played Dak Prescott last week against Denver, that tells me that, you know, you either weren't paying attention to your lineup or your quarterback situation was more dire than you would actually think. At the end of the day, when I look at Prescott, I think that there is some room for improvement, even with Ezekiel Elliott, but I do have some concerns about the receivers. I think that eventually at some point in time, you might start looking at, you know, maybe Cole Beasley being his top option at wide receiver. And I think there are signs trending toward that already.
Looking ahead at the NFL in general, this is kind of an NFL question, but I think it can be relevant to what we're talking about when it comes to fantasy sports. I'm hearing a lot of talk that the NFL product just isn't as good as it used to be. And we hear that a lot. You see people who remember the good old days, and they forget that during the good old days they maybe weren't quite as good as they remember. They're just old. But that seems to be a generational thing. But nonetheless, we're hearing it that the product isn't quite as good, that the players aren't performing quite as well. Not that they're not more skilled, that the game just isn't quite as good. And one of the arguments is actually that the defensive players are that much better than maybe they've ever been. They're more athletic. They're faster. You don't have to be as big these days to be an NFL guy. It used to be that size and strength was the thing. Now, and you look at this a lot with the Falcons, it seems like their focus is more speed and athleticism, and their defense was really good last year. And, you know, you can debate. With Vic Beasley, I was probably not going to be quite as good. But in general, you could make an argument that maybe the Falcons are the future on how defenses are going to be. That's, I guess, my question is, do you think the NFL product is not quite as good as far as the play on the field? There weren't a lot of really good games. There were some close games, but it didn't really look like there was a lot of great football out there. And I'm curious, A, are you buying into that? Do you believe that the NFL maybe isn't quite as good right now? And then from a fantasy perspective, does that change anything that you do or any way that you evaluate things if, in fact, you do believe? Because when we talk about good or bad, it's really about offense, right? It's not whether the defense is better or worse. It's really whether the offense is looking good, it's looking sharp, whether it's scoring. I think that's where everyone determines whether they think the NFL product is getting better, getting worse, or staying the same. So what's your thoughts on what the NFL was last year and what you've seen after a couple weeks?
I think that I can agree with the fact that the defenses are starting to get better in the NFL over the last few years, you know, with the exception of maybe the Broncos, the Seahawks, to a certain extent, the Texans and Falcons defense of last season. You know, every game was just seemed like a track meet. I think that we've gotten spoiled to seeing, you know, dual 300-yard games, passing games in the same contest, or seeing, you know, 18 or 19 different wide receivers going over 1,000 yards, and you had, you know, 8 to 10 guys catching 10 touchdown passes. We've gotten so spoiled to that, to the point to where, what's the best way to stop an offense? A good offense. You develop a good defense. And I think that you see a lot of NFL teams going to defensive-minded coaches to build defenses designed to slow down top-end offenses. So you look at what the Broncos have done. Vance Joseph is a defensive guy. They still have Wade Phillips, you know, in the fold. So that's part of the reason, obviously, that's part of the reason why that defense is so solid. You look at, you know, some of the changes that are around the league. You know, you look at Jacksonville and how they, you know, have, over the past couple of years, have emphasized defense. And you're starting to see a little bit of that. You know, last week was a bit of a dog, but I think this is a Jacksonville team that will be much better than expected. I think another thing is that the quarterback play might start tailing off. The elite guys are still there, but I think that, you know, we might be in a situation where we're looking at a couple of years gap to where that next batch of elite guys are coming in. You also have to remember that, you know, once upon a time, we were thinking that guys like Robert Griffin, Andrew Luck, you know, even to a certain extent, Blake Bortles, these guys were going to be that next generation of top-end passers and top-end fantasy ball players. As far as fantasy is concerned, I think that we're slowly but surely reverting back to where fantasy, you know, truly is at its core. It is a game that is built around quarterbacks and running backs and wide receivers. Over the past few years, we've had such a run on wide receivers and tight ends going early. So I think that, you know, teams and fantasy teams that went in all in on wide receivers in the early rounds and decided to wait on the quarterback, you know, thinking that they're all the same, are probably some of those fantasy teams that are getting burnt. You know, fantasy teams that might be loaded at wide receiver, but, you know, are rolling out a Jay Cutler or hoping that Andrew Luck can hurry and get back in time because you don't want to keep rolling Alex Smith out there. I think that's the problem as well. I think at the end, when you look at it, it's all about, you know, defense, and I think, you know, there's a gap in quarterback play when you look at the elite guys, some of the older guys that are on the back end of their careers compared to some of the guys that should be ascending at this point in time. Thank you.